You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
WNDX, it's John and Gordy in the morning, 92.7. We're on the Civic Media app, and you can text us, call us, and voice note us. What a beautiful morning it's turning out to be.
Yeah,
it's going to be like this for the next 3 or 4 days, right?
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. Today, a high around 83, and right now, clear skies and 62 degrees. You can call us at 608-879-8255. And checking our poll numbers here for WMDXRadio.com, we have a new poll up about the Beltline. What part of the Beltline has the worst traffic when it's busy? You can check it out for yourself. But right now, Midvale Boulevard, Verona Road, Todd Drive, Fish Hatch. That seems to be leading the poll with the worst part of the Beltline when it gets busy.
Absolutely. All right.
I'd agree with that.
We always get complaints, you know, about CJ calling, and boy, we shouldn't put him on the air. But I'm sorry. I enjoy getting the opposite sides.
Right, getting all sides.
And by the way, talking to him, I get to bring up some other things that I don't have prepared here, but I do want to at least get out there. And so I hope it works out. I hope you don't mind too much. We do like to get opposing viewpoints on this program.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get to a little clip package I put together of Charlie Kirk, well, let's go to the phones right now. We've got Joe on the line. Joe, what do you got for us?
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to react. I usually try not to react to CJ, but I did think it was fascinating. You described, and it really is a useful piece for people to go back and listen to, women talking about the awfulness of being on Charlie Kirk's hit list, which
right.
he gave out to all of his followers. She talked about how she was getting death threats. She was getting calls on the phone where they were calling her the C word and other words like that. You know, I've had that in my life and for various reasons, and I'm not going to go into them. But the reason, let me tell you, it's scarier than all get out.
It is
scarier than all get out because you don't know what the next step is.
Yeah.
And I would urge CJ to think about the women in his life and think about how they would feel about an organized figure with a whole might of his organization and the money and the ability to get that message out offers up a hit list against his women in his life. How would you feel if somebody did that, was saying you should have death threats, C word, lose your job, that sort of thing? I mean, and then he goes on to say that, oh, we, you know, great crowds in our Christian church today. He had a line that was just so revealing. And of course, he has no awareness, so it's not going to penetrate. But he said, you guys are going to reap what we're going to sow.
Mm.
Boy, how Jesus-like.
Yeah.
Boy, that really sounds very Christian to say that. You know, avenging angels and all, our way or the highway.
Yeah.
You know, some introspection would be a wonderful thing from CJ and the people that are in that camp, but I don't see it. And I guess I would say to him, think about it if it was your daughter. Think about it if it was your sister, your wife, hearing that kind of stuff, being on a hit list. You okay with that? I guess so.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
Joe, thank you
very
for that
much.
Comment.
Yeah, that was Stacy Patton is a journalist and college professor who wrote this piece about the Kirk watch list for professors out there. And she also wrote this. Kirk sent the loud message to us, speak the truth and we will unleash the mob. That is the culture of violence Charlie Kirk built. He normalized violence. He curated it. He monetized it and sicked it on anyone who dared puncture his movement's lies.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play a little bit of Charlie Kirk here. This is cut 92. If we could get, I tell you what, should we get to Charles?
Yeah,
first?
Let's go to the phones. Charles is on the line here. Good morning, Charles. Go ahead with your comment.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show so far. So, I think people are getting some things mixed up. Just because a person doesn't come out and use the N word doesn't mean that they're not a racist. Charlie Kirk had thoughts of black people, not other people as well, but I'm a black man, so speaking on black people, he had his thoughts on black people. Those thoughts were racist thoughts.
Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard him say anything about, well, if I ever go into an airport and I see a white pilot, I'm wondering if they're qualified enough. When I see a black pilot or a female pilot, I get excited because it brings me to a point that everything doesn't have to be a white man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And somewhere we've lost that in society, as well as just because he had a lot of people following him, Jim Jones had a lot of people following him too, and we see how that ended.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of people like CJ and other conservatives that always try to, we hear these things, guys. I last checked, my hearing is okay. So mm-hmm. I hear the things that are coming out of Charlie Kirk's mouth, out of Trump's mouth. And we always have these people that want to say, well, this is what they really meant.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Not right. What we heard, but this is what they really, we heard what they said. We heard Brian Kilmeade say that they need to just kill mentally ill homeless people. Give me one Democrat or liberal or person that has said we should just go out and kill people because they're making the cities look bad. We should just round them up and kill them.
Well, Charles, now that you mentioned it, I have a clip here. Let's play this real quick. It's a short clip. You brought this up. This is Fox's Kilmeade suggesting just that. Let's listen. This is cut 96. Cut 96. Let's listen.
Here we go.
They have given billions of dollars to mental health and the homeless population. A lot of them don't want to take the programs. A lot of them don't want to get the help that is necessary. You can't give them a choice. Either you take the resources that we're going to give you and or you decide that you're going to be locked up in jail. That's the way it has to be now.
Or involuntary lethal injection or something. Just kill them.
Yeah, Brian, why did it have to get to this point?
Right. There you go. Right, Charles? That proves our point right here.
And they just skipped over that. Someone saying, let's just kill other humans.
Yeah.
It baffles me, but the one thing that Republicans are good at, and that's messaging, they keep repeating the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. I was an educator for 18 years. I've never heard a teacher tell a kid to hate somebody else, to hate themselves. I went to college. My kids went to college. I have friends that went to college. I've never heard a college professor trying to tell kids to hate, but they always talk about indoctrinating. Well, if you're telling us that we need to send our kids to religious schools, what is that saying?
In other words, it's indoctrination.
Yes, because if you don't believe in the Jesus that we believe in, then you're evil.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to prove your point. I got a clip package here I put together, and
Charles, thanks for that call.
I know CJ brought this up, and it is where Charlie is, you know, saying that he's not racist, and he's proved his point over and over. He's given money and help to those people who are African-American. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen those clips, but on the other end of it, he's got other clips where he's not so kind to African-Americans. Let's listen to, this is cut 92.
I know what you're thinking. We got to get Joe Biden out of the way so we can run up against Cammy. Oh my goodness, is she beatable? It's like black Hillary on steroids.
Black.
Is she black? Mm-hmm. I guess she says she's Caribbean or whatever. Doesn't matter. She is.
What?
She gives these speeches and it just has this aura of totalitarianism. I mean, Joe Biden is a bumbling, dementia-filled, Alzheimer's corrupt tyrant.
Kind
who should
to say that.
Honestly, be put in prison and or given the death penalty for his crimes against America. Her daughter all of a sudden came home and said, I'm a boy. And the whole assembly line, the conveyor belt, was started to grind. They wanted to give her cross-sex hormones. They wanted to give her testosterone therapy. They wanted to cut off her breasts. These doctors need to be put in prison quickly. We need to have a Nuremberg-style trial for every gender-affirming clinic doctor. We need it immediately. They have no regard for the process for legal immigration. And at what point do we use real force? You have to be willing to do it. We're the only superpower on the planet where we just allow people to run over. Why do we have a military? Why do we have men with guns if we can't use them?
Shoot,
if you enter,
shoot immigrants.
We have lethal force, and we're willing to use it.
Really?
The one issue I think that is so against our senses, so against the natural law, and dare I say, a throbbing middle finger to God, is the transgender thing happening in America right now. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination.
So there's a lot of things that have changed in American society. We're not worried about people not being served at lunch counters anymore.
Yeah, and the Civil Rights Act, though, let's be clear, created a beast, and that beast has now turned into an anti-white weapon.
Yeah, and that's the reality. And then that we've had a few folks like you who have been willing to, in this world right now, you're going to be called a racist by the left, but they don't even know what a woman is. So how would they know what a racist is?
That's right. What a woman is. You have been conditioned into social justice warrior simulation theory.
What?
Anytime you see something between a white person and a black person, you have been trained, you have been conditioned to believe that it's the white person that is terrorizing the black person. And they also just want to start a race war. The left would love to see a race war. The summer of 2020 was the beginning stages of what they wanted to try to see create. Here's what's upsetting to me, Heather, is if I'm dealing with somebody in customer service who's a moronic black woman, I wonder, is she there because of her excellence, or is she there because affirmative action almost creates thought patterns that are not necessarily wholesome?
Yeah, we have to stop being scared by the race hustle. We have to stop being scared by being called a racist and just say, sorry, the facts are these. You cannot have racial proportionality and excellence at the same time.
What's going on in?
Okay. Right. We've got more, but I think you get the point.
Yes.
And for some reason, and again, this is the party that sees merit, not color. All right. Just to bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
I think you brought up color a few times there.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's my proof.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Dick on the line right now. Yeah. What do you got for us, Dick?
Dick, just have about a minute or two. Go ahead.
Oh, boy. He almost makes George Wallace seem tame.
Yeah.
The reality is, with him and folks like him and Trump himself, Rush in the day, they're all cowards, all of them.
Yeah.
Absolute cowards. And, you know, the stuff you just played that he's spewing, it's just beyond belief.
I know.
And yet people are going to condone that and say, well, you know, right. He's
right up there with all the great leaders. That's one of the things. You know, I do want to stress here again. You know, we're just presenting his side of the aisle. This is his presentation. He told people this. This is part of his broadcast. We're not talking him down. We're not saying that he's a horrible person. We're letting him speak for himself on this, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the point. You know, people can be very sad about what happened. It was tragic.
It should
never happen in this country. We're trying to stop it. The left side of the aisle is trying to stop the carnage from guns, but they won't let us. So we get blamed for being the party of murder? Yes. Please, please, no.
Yeah. There's one other quick thing.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah, when you talk about black people in general, too, it's a proven fact they have horrible outcomes going to white doctors.
Mm.
It's just provable.
Yeah.
Dick, sorry, we're out of time here. In fact, we're going to step away from politics for a few minutes. Amy Horak will join us next from David J. Frank. And in our next half hour, former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. Stay with us for John and Gordy, WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You better get up off of that thing and dance to you.
John and Gordy in the morning, 92.7.
23 minutes past the hour. Beautiful day ahead of us. Highs in the low to mid 80s. We want to congratulate Steve from Sun Prairie. He was our latest winner of a Sugar River pizza dinner. Got a $50 gift card. And we've tossed out all of those entries from last week. So you can enter now again. If you entered last week, you can enter again this week. Just go to WMDXradio.com. It's a $50 gift card up for grabs each and every week from Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie. And we're celebrating the fact that they are in the best of Madison. We'll find out those results in a couple of weeks. And we are also in for best radio team, John and Gordy, and
best of Madison.
Running for Best of Madison from Madison Magazine. Again, go to WMDXradio.com and you could win a pizza party from Sugar River Pizza, $50 gift card.
I can't, you know, I admit I have high expectations.
What, for Best of Madison?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, of course. You know, in my mind, we won, but, you know,
we'll see. We'll see. Mm. Okay. Amy Horak has joined us now from David J. Frank. Good morning, Amy. Good to see you again.
Good to see you guys, too. It's great to be back.
Yeah. So here it is. It looks like fall is moving in and summer is leaving us, at least maybe in a few days. It's going to get warm the next couple of days, but then leaves are starting to change.
Yeah.
What should people be thinking about this time of year for their lawn and gardens?
Yeah, summer is on its tail end out. The equinox comes up about the 20th or 21st this month, so then we'll finally definitely be noticing the days getting shorter. But for this time of year, obviously it's been getting a lot drier, even though it's still pretty hot. We have been getting a little bit less rain, even though it's been quite the rainy summer, to say the least.
Yeah, right.
But that being said, you can probably start cutting your lawn a little bit less. I think the last time I cut my lawn at home was on Labor Day itself. So today marks 2 weeks and I'm like, okay, it's probably about time to get cut it again.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to start cutting it a little bit shorter too. That way it's going to help start getting the lawn prepared for the winter and help getting it prepared for things like rodents. The shorter you cut the lawn in the fall, the rodents are going to have less turf to try to tunnel through and damage it. Mm-hmm. So, and then it's also going to help for the springtime, allow for more sunlight to actually get deeper to the root systems and start that lawn off better in the spring, as well as preventing things like snow mold. So there's different type of fungal diseases that can actually develop over the winter. So getting the lawn prepared this time of year is really crucial to make sure it has a better, healthier start to the next season.
Yeah, last year we had nothing but ice on the lawn.
Oh, yeah.
So it was an unusual winter.
Yep, it's definitely unusual last year. I'm hoping this year is a little bit better. I mean, some people might hate to hear me say it, but I hope it actually snows.
Yeah.
The snow will actually keep the plants a little insulated, keep them protected. I got a lot of friends that love to go snowboarding, skiing, snowmobiling. I don't know what the last time snowmobile. The path's been open. I don't know. It just doesn't snow enough up north.
Companies went out of business because of the lack of snow.
Yeah, a lot of tourism that happens in northern Wisconsin relies on that snow coming in. So,
And what else with your law? Anything else we should be aware of?
So, I mean, if it does snow and you're going to have to put salt down to help, you know, keep people safe, don't fall down, you want to put down some gypsum, especially along like the sidewalks or your driveway, anywhere where you're going to get a lot of salt that's going to hit the lawn areas. Put gypsum down now. You need the fall and the winter to help actually break that gypsum down and help make it more active in the soil.
Okay.
And it'll help loosen up the soil, especially if it's heavy clay, which a lot of southern Wisconsin soils tend to be a bit heavier clay soils. So you're going to want to put that down. It'll help improve the soil structure, so that way water will move a little bit better. It'll help flush out that salt that builds up. And then with that as well, you can have better seed germination in the springtime because your soil is going to be just a little bit more workable to begin with.
You put the gypsum on the grass next to the sidewalk.
Yep. So along the edges, like where you would, so that would help the best, or like on your driveway where whenever you shovel and put salt down, it's like where you're going to throw that salty snow onto your lawn.
I did not know that.
So it'll help a lot, definitely.
All right.
Okay. Let's go to the phone. Catherine is on the line with a question or a comment. Morning, Catherine.
What the heck is gypsum, first of all? But I'll get to that. My question is actually about roses. I started a rose garden, you know, quote unquote, pre-plants, and they did pretty well.
They're just starting. How do I keep them safe over winter? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you so
much. Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely this time of year, considering winter protection. So if there's any like type of evergreen plants, you want to wrap them in burlap. You can give it a little bit of time, but probably by October or so when it starts to really get cool, just getting them wrapped up. If you have things like roses, some people will do like some like mulching them in the winter. So either taking leaf litter or something and building it up around them, or even taking like evergreen boughs and kind of placing them around there, just so that way it helps keep the soil more insulated and helps keep those roots, because you really want those roots to establish healthy and strong this time, so that way next year they'll be off to a good start to help promote new development and growth on your rose bushes.
Do you cut them back at all, or
You can definitely cut back the roses too this time of year once they're done blooming and
right down to the ground, or
you don't want to leave them all the way down to the ground. Okay. Give them probably a good 6 inches or so of stems still left up, or a little bit more.
Right. We're almost out of time, but you wanted to mention something about you have some employment to offer folks, right?
Yeah.
With David J. Frank.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great place to work. We have employment opportunities from the Milwaukee area up to the Madison area. There's anywhere from entry level to having a lot of experience. So if you don't have any experience in the landscaping industry, don't worry about it. We're more than happy to help train you on the job and get you started.
And where would people go to find out more?
If you want to find out more, go to www.davidjfrank.com and go under Careers tab, and you can find out from there.
Very good. Excellent.
Amy, thanks for coming in this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
And coming up, we've got the Midwest Food and Farm Report back with former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin next on John and Gordy.
It's John and Gordy in the morning on WMDX. Nice sunny morning as well. And we encourage your calls, your input on the show. So please give us a text or a call or just voice note us. Mm-hmm. Now, I hear that Gen Z is big on voice noting. Please prove me right.
Okay. Or you can call us at 608-879-8255. But right now we have Paul Soglin on the line, former Madison mayor. Good morning, Mayor Soglin.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah.
Good to have you with us. So,
well, it's hard not to bring up Charlie Kirk in this instance. What's your point of view on that, Paul?
Well, I think I want to start out with the subject of free speech.
Yeah. Okay.
And that is that while some people think that, and this has gone on for decades, that they believe in free speech, but that racist speech, hate speech is not permissible. And I strongly disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that any of us are in a moral position to make that decision as to which should not be allowed. Mm-hmm. Hate speech, racist speech, some of the really vile stuff that's emanated in the last few years needs to be condemned. It needs to be confronted. And that's another thing, which is that people who spew this kind of vile don't get a free pass for what they are. But we're going to see more of this, unfortunately, in the coming years, as long as Trump and his friends are in power. And I don't think that the death of this guy in any way masks or covers up how nasty he was. I mean, he just said some horrible things in the last several years. The other thing that I take away from all of this, and I'm not the one who made this observation, which is that he actually used some of the strategies that the left had used for years in terms of recruiting. And it points to me that this is one of the great problems that people on the left have not confronted over the last 30, 40 years, namely that we careen from one election to the other, hoping to get 50% plus one of the vote, and have failed to do any in-depth organizing so that we could have something short of this desperate effort to win elections. That's yeah. The other takeaway. Yeah.
Well, that's true. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I think because we're locked into our own echo chambers, and I'm really, really kind of gearing this toward the right in this particular case, the echo chamber itself doesn't receive the blowback, the criticism within the echo chamber, that they should at least acknowledge they're missing. They have to have some self-criticism. You know, they have to be able to look at themselves in a critical way in order to kind of temper their message, temper which direction they're going in. And I don't think they're getting that. And when there is blowback, when there is a reaction, and they don't know how to deal with it, they just call the other side the party of murder, you know, the party that wants to lock them in FEMA camps, which is, you know, projection, really. But anyway, there's got to be some self-criticism on the other side of the aisle as well. We, I think, on the left have way too much self-criticism.
I don't know why this comes to mind from what you just said, but when I guess that's when you call people murderers. One of the other things is we've got a lot of rhetoric in terms of calling people Nazis and fascists, mm-hmm. and I'm disturbed by that. In that if we use the term too loosely, mm-hmm. it loses its meaning. On the other hand, I think we got to go a little deeper than calling people Nazis and fascists and say, well, what actually is a Nazi or fascist?
Yeah.
And there's two characteristics of National Socialism that are very important. One is the myth of racial superiority, that you're talking about someone who's an avowed racist and is shameless in it. That's the first characteristic. The second characteristic is the role of the leader, and that is that the leader represents the will of the people, that the leader is not to be encumbered or bothered or shackled by little niceties like legislatures and courts.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, one of the main characteristics of both fascist Italy and Nazi Germany, mm-hmm. was that once Mussolini and once Hitler came to power, they were able to throw off any obstruction to their will, which was supposedly embodied that of the people. Well, when you go that far, then I think you can legitimately call certain people Nazis and fascists. But I think you have to do more than just use the label. You have mm-hmm. to document and show where somebody like Kirk was clearly a racist and clearly believed, for example, that Donald Trump did not need to abide by, like I said, the niceties of a court ruling or the will of the elected legislator or the Congress.
Right.
What did you think about, Paul, we're talking with former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin here. Did you see the comment that Trump made when he was on with Fox and Friends when one of the people interviewing him asked him, you know, how can we bring the nation together after this assassination? How do we heal the nation? And he said it's the, you know, I don't have the exact quote in front of me.
I don't care.
He basically said he didn't care, the least of his concerns.
Yes. And I read a New York Times article, I think it was yesterday or Saturday, which pointed out that he's the first president in recent memory who doesn't care about uniting the country mm-hmm. or looking out for the interests of all Americans. Now, this has clearly been his strategy in his second term. In his first term, he did want to steamroll over progressives and the left, but he didn't have the will to do it, the will that we're seeing in the second term, which is, you know, less than a year old.
Right.
But there's no question that, and that's another characteristic of a totalitarian government, and that is probably one of the scariest things that we've seen from this administration mm-hmm. is the whole nature of American pluralism is at stake, which is something nobody talks about these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about the will of the majority. And if you ask Trump about the rights of the minority, he basically laughed in our face with mm-hmm. the comments you referred to.
Well, that's true. And one of the things that bothers me a lot is how they want to project a different point of view on campuses. They want teachers to teach certain things. They want to eliminate certain things that teachers can teach. And acting like that isn't some kind of DEI.
Well, yeah. the hypocrisy,
yes,
of the shamelessness of this administration, I think is very well documented. But the key point that we have to understand, they don't care.
Yeah.
Trump does not care that he wants to remove professors from universities who may have a progressive view of life while he inflicts upon us the demand that conservative right-wingers, professors who maybe think like Kirk did,
mm-hmm.
is inappropriate.
Well,
yeah,
we kind of, you know, always come to this point where, you know, we're trying to soft sell some of this so we don't sound too partisan. You know, Gordy and I are kind of apolitical. We just want to up. We
well,
Paul. but here's the thing. Now, and I say that only because we want to come up with solutions to the problems. We don't want to just call them names. And, you know, we call them out when we think they're wrong and why they're wrong. We point out why they're wrong. But at the same time, isn't there a solution to a lot of the problems that we have in this country, you know, like health care and child care and things that have cropped up as big problems in this country right now?
But we're so polarized, we can't, once we just can't talk to each other.
We sound partisan now.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a question of talking to one another anymore.
Yeah.
Donald Trump has put an end to that. I think there's only one solution, and that is long-term organizing. Long-term organizing in which, I can't remember if the last time we talked I referred to the book Stolen Pride,
yes,
by Arlie Russell Hochschild. You know, when you look at what she's documented about what the right wing has done in those poor counties of eastern Kentucky or Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they use the tactics that SDS's ERAP project that the Black Panthers were using in the mid and late 60s and 70s. Those who were doing economic organizing in low-income communities, and they built a political base. And, you know, all that is overshadowed so that both not just the national press, but also the left has forgotten about that work.
Yeah.
And that work built coalitions that lasted. lasted for several decades until we forgot about the organizing. And I think that kind of organizing, you know, let's start here in Wisconsin. That kind of organizing is needed in 90% of this state outside of Madison and Milwaukee.
Yep.
And once we start doing that, we'll start having the majorities where we can implement those healthcare programs, the programs that you mentioned.
Paul, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thank you for joining us.
Thanks for your input on
We'll talk to you again soon.
Next week? No, 3 weeks.
Three weeks.
Take care.
All right. That's former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. We'll be back to wrap things up here in just a moment. John and Gordy in the morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX 752. Going to wrap things up tomorrow on the show. Lisa Bernard will join us from the Dane County Humane Society, and also Gary Albrecht. He is a cancer survivor, and he has been doing different runs to raise money for awareness. He's part of the Badger Challenge that's happening Sunday, September 26th, I believe, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow.
An appropriate song, I think, you know, applies to schools and the shooting.
Bang, bang.
Took place at a college campus. You know, we're going to be talking about this for a while, I guess. And I want to get to our own representative, Derek Van Orden.
Yeah, he had some comments.
Yeah. But first, I just want to get this out of the way from CJ. He says, come on, guys, playing just little snippets. Finishes quote, empathy versus sympathy. As I mentioned, I think he likes the word sympathy more than empathy.
Right.
Because empathy is a more lefty word, and sympathy is something, well, you know, he adopted.
Mm.
That's fine. Okay, now let's get to Derek Van Orden, who has been out there pushing people around, as he always likes to do, because he's a manly man. And he hasn't noticed what the orange pumpkin in the White House has been doing, basically, I guess, you know, dictating everything, occupying cities, no big deal. But Derek Van Orden, showboating again, telling the press to knock it off. This is Cut 80.
Let's listen.
Every single one of you here, you're at fault. Hey, you know what? Knock it off. Knock it off. You are responsible for that assassination yesterday. You should be ashamed of yourself.
What about the Democratic lawmakers in Minnesota?
Yeah, what about the lawmakers in Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. No comment on that one. No, he kind of walked away. We have a text here.
Yes. A text came in, Derek Van Orden. Your major goal in life is to run around and beat up people. Your set point is anger, unlike most people who are relaxed, thoughtful, and considerate. Your entire being is to label people as liberals and therefore your enemy. My millionaire friends who run good business, value their daughter's future, and employ competent people who happen to be gay would disagree with your negative, reactionary, angry posture. Derek Van Orden, you are a disgrace to Wisconsin and a disgrace to Christians. Crawl back in your hole. Okay.
There you go.
Oh, there's that comment.
I've got another comment here from Derek. This is a reading. This is a reporter reading what Derek Van Orden has recently said and posted.
Okay.
And this is Cut 82.
All right.
Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden accused Democrats and the media of being directly culpable for Kirk's death. He also lobbed attacks at Democrats like U.S. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Wisconsin Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan, and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. Van Orden also repeatedly said the gloves are off. Mm-hmm. He said the shooting is the reason he'll be at war for the next 20 years. And he claimed the left wants a 21st century civil war and advised Democrats to study the history of how the last civil war in the 1800s turned out.
Oh, well, that's brilliant. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
who's
know.
Threatening who here?
Yeah. Know? Right.
All right. Let's get to something Lara Trump said recently. I think this is just out of line. But anyway, it's on Fox News, and yeah, that's where you hear this stuff. So let's listen to Cut 93. And you really can't criticize MAGAs at this point. Not anymore.
And look at what the legacy media has parroted, the way they have consistently framed conservatives in those ways over the past decade, really. What do you expect to happen? At a certain point, people are going to start to take matters into their own hands. We have to be responsible for our words. Words have consequences. And so, sadly, this is what happened. Sadly, you have assassination attempts on a former and current president. Sadly, Charlie Kirk is no longer with us. These people need to start reporting the truth and stop putting words out there they know are not true.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, calling them fascists is not true. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's play a clip here. This is Cut 98. And who's calling people fascists? Let's listen.
American politics today is between these far-left fascists led by Harris and her group.
Well, we have a fascist person running who's incompetent.
She's a Marxist, communist, fascist, socialist. She's not actually a socialist. She's gone past that.
Somebody's got to explain this woman. This is a radical left Marxist, communist, fascist.
Yeah.
American politics today is between these far-left fascists, led by Harris and her group.
We have a fascist person running.
Oh yes,
who's incompetent?
She's a Marxist, communist, fascist, socialist. She's not actually a socialist. She's gone past that.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to explain this woman. This is a radical left Marxist, communist, fascist.
Okay. Just throw them all out there.
It just repeats goes the on a same loop. Words over and over. I don't know. I mean, you know, it kind of takes all the words and puts them into one, and we're the ones who shouldn't use the word fascism.
Yeah.
Right?
But they continue to use
we're
it
the bad
to
people
normalize
using
it.
Fascism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to describe it that way. And my mega friend in Milwaukee always calls me a fascist.
Does he?
Always really? Calls me a terrorist.
Oh, my.
And a killer and a murderer, you know, because of abortion. All of that stuff, I'm supposed to sit there and take it. But, you know, if I say anything about them, you can't have that.
No.
So anyway, it's a strange world. The Southern Poverty Law Center said Turning Point USA's movement is to promote Christian nationalism to the young and exploit their fear that they have being attacked by immigrants, LGBTQ community, and civil rights activists. All purely constructed enemies. Turning Point USA manufactures that rage.
And on it goes. But we got to leave it there. Stephanie Miller is right around the corner. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be back in 22 hours tomorrow. I'll talk to Lisa Bernard from the Dane County Humane Society. Hope you have a great day.
Take care now.
So long.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.